gives me faith. I'm gonna make it. Oh, let's sing it one more time with all your heart. Give God praise. And after all, this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountaintop, so tall, looking over it. Oh, thank you, Lord, that my Savior is preparing. He gives me faith. It's just some fairy tale. Some of us believe that, I guess. I believe it ain't a fairy tale. I believe it's the truth. A lot of people saw things or think they saw things, but when you know it's real, it's real. It changes everything, doesn't it? Well, let's just read a short portion of the Bible here. We've been in Hebrews chapter 11, so if you got your Bibles open up there, a few things to say here before I get preaching too much, but I'd like to read the scripture while we're standing in respect to God's word. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. If you don't, just please listen carefully. Excuse me. Seems like I'm losing my voice. I haven't even started yet, so just pray for my voice. Seems like I got a little bit more than this. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I'm just going to stop there for right now. We'll getting some other scriptures. I like to preach tonight a third pull expectation. A third pull expectation. And we'll make sense of that here in a minute. Let's bow our heads together. As we all reverence God in His presence, do you have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord, knowing that the Word is the provider of those needs? God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. For you said wherever two or three would gather together in your name, that you'd be here, Lord. But we know that the physical body that you died in and rose is on the right hand of the Father on high. But you promised to send the Spirit back, Lord, and we're glad to know that that Spirit is amongst us even tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would search our hearts. If there's any evil within there, Lord, we pray that you would show it to us, Lord. And we'd be able to repent quickly, Lord, and let the blood wash us again tonight. We ask you, Lord, to heal every sick person that's here. Save every lost, encourage every discouraged, and fill everyone that's empty. We thank you, Lord, that we know you always hear us. We appreciate you, Father. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. It's good to have, yes, Jasmine sitting over there and Christina, Matt, is that right? I remember that. Good. I usually forget because I'm out there thinking about preaching. I forget everything. Logan, it's good to see you too tonight. God bless you all. Regular timers too. It's good to have each one here tonight. Remember this weekend, we're having Brother Trevor Edmond from Jeffersonville. He's preaching for us Saturday at 6. That's the 5th, and on Sunday at 12. I just wanted to praise the Lord. You might not know this, but my wife decided to get rebaptized this past Sunday, so just wanted to praise the Lord for that. She just rededicated her heart to the Lord, and she just felt to do it for a long time, and she said she's just happy that she just did it. You know, sometimes it's just better just to go ahead and do it instead of thinking about it too much, you know, and then you got double getting all kinds of things in your head and taking away what God even had for you. A few Saturdays after that, that's on the 19th at 5, we're going to have a communion service. We haven't had it in a while, so I really feel to do that. So if you want to come on out, that's fine. So God bless each one. I put the email out there from Brother Ernie from the Philippines. He even told me that he spent a night with a man that had been a denominational preacher, and he was talking about getting baptized in Jesus Christ's name, receiving the Holy Ghost, and said it was at midnight, but they went and did it because he was ready. That's right. And when you're ready, you're ready. You know, it's just, he sent it out there. I guess it was like 11:50 something at night, and he said he's going to get baptized. So he went and got baptized. And what I appreciate from Brother Ernie's, he told him, he said, don't plan on being popular. Don't plan on everybody liking what you're doing here. You know, and I'll just share this from today. I like to just go wherever God seems to lead me. I don't like to think too hard about it, I guess. But today I was talking, and some kid told me, and I don't want to say who or what or anything like that, but he's like, we're talking about going to a certain church and things. He said, well, that church's a cult. I said, okay, what's a cult? And she said, Jasmine was there, weren't you? That's right. I knew somebody was going to catch me. Just never get away with anything anymore. But we began having a discussion, trying to figure out what a cult was in the first place. So you know what? You type it in once. You want to know what it is? It's a small group of religious fanatics of some sort that believe something that's not mainstream. Well, I guess I'm in a cult. Last I checked, this whole system that's taken over the world, this denominational system, was not of God. And now you can't find one time that the world system of religion was ever right. You show it to me. Last I checked, when they got the Catholic Church in control of everything, we had 1,000 years of dark ages, and everybody that wasn't Catholic decided had to die. And the Muslims got a hold of it, and they decided, hey, if you're not Muslim, I guess you're going to die. Just because state and church are together and they're the majority doesn't mean it's from God. Right. Very much the contrary. Right. When Jesus came on earth, who's the ones that persecuted him? The ones that should have known who he was. Right. The ones that had the Old Testament that prophesied of him over and over and over again, completely memorized. Right. They were the national religion of the area. And yet when the word came off the pages and became real, they missed it. Not to just miss it a little bit. They missed it to the point where they called God the devil.
That's right.
And Jesus already said, or the Bible does, that cursed be the generation that calls good bad and bad good. And if you haven't believed, we've received or arrived. We have arrived. We're in an age now where it's better to murder than it is to be fair. I mean, we're just there. If you can make a $5 bill doing whatever evil, it's justifiable because, you know, what's good is bad and what's bad is good now. God have mercy. Now, I don't have a very very happy message tonight, and I pray that you know that it's just what the Lord put on my heart. As we read this scripture, let's just go back there for a minute, and I'm just going to trust the Lord to take it any way he wants to. Let me read there again. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And can we just stop right there for a minute and preach? There's a reason we have to preach holiness. You don't earn salvation. There's no way to earn salvation. I hope everybody understands that. That's why Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He took our place because we couldn't do anything for ourselves. Every man has sinned. Every man has come short of the glory of God. But a man that's been born again from above has a different nature. And for you to still desire the things of the world, the things that you did when you were a sinner, after you're converted, you weren't converted. You're not behind the blood yet. Because there should be a change.
Amen.
When the Bible says you must be born again, it means born from above.
Yes.
Which means that the life of God, that pure holiness that we're talking about, has now transferred into you.
Yes. Amen.
And you can find a man that's got the real Holy Ghost because he doesn't desire the things of the world.
That's right.
When they show up, oh, he might be tempted here and there, but really, he's fighting it all the time. He don't want nothing to do with it. It's just the same as if you took some nice meat. Oh, you can cook it real good and just season it just right. Go put it in front of a lamb. Go do it. You think he'll be too tempted? He won't touch it because he has no appetite for it. But you take a wolf that you put in a cage for a long time and fed him dog food and try to get him to be a vegetarian, let him get in front of a steak. It's gone. That's right. Why? It's his nature. His nature that's within him is to do that. And here we are. Bible's pretty plain. You can't, without holiness, you won't see the Lord. There's no way to. So unless a man gets into Christ, he'll never see the Lord.
Right.
And you're going to tell me you're as holy as the Lord and still desire to look like the world. You're telling me you're as holy as the Lord and you're still going to talk like the world. You're going to act like the world. No, sir. You're just lying to yourself. It's actually worse to know the way that's right and to not walk on it than just not even know about it at all. And that's why I believe it's God's mercy. I hope this is okay tonight. Why some people never heard the gospel at all. Because God, remember, this isn't some overnight man. This is somebody that knows everything.
Right.
God in his mercy knew that if certain people would hear the gospel, they'd turn it down.
Yeah.
His mercy to them is that they never hear it in the first place. you hear me now?
Yeah.
That he can at least give them a case of ignorance. Because that's all there is. There's nothing else. But the second you hear it, look now, church, this is serious business. Now, I have a very serious thing from God tonight. Once you hear the word for your day, you have to accept it now. And if you don't, you don't have another day. There comes a time when you reach the end of your choices. There comes a time when this is it. It's do or die. And you can find it time and time again. That's why we're talking about a third pole expectation. And we've heard that, especially in the message and things, that third pole just get thrown around. And I tell you what, if you'd actually study it once, you wouldn't be jumping for joy all the time when you realize what it's all about and the responsibility we have as believers.
Amen.
Look at the end of every ministry. Let's just go through a few, if that's all right. Let's just start with Noah tonight. And God forbid if you go watch the movie that came out and think that was from God. God have mercy on you. That movie was the most devil-possessed thing I've ever seen because it tried to pretend to take something scriptural and just blow it to pieces. Can I just clarify some of the things? Noah didn't need fallen angels to come down and become these big rock creatures and help him build the ark. You say, bro, that's crazy. Go watch it. That's what it is. Let me really paint the picture that movie gives out. And that's why I'm preaching so against it. It's nonsense. God, you know, man sinned, and God, the big meanie that he is, said, I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to wipe him out. You know, because he was just bored one day. And it's so funny because man will say, you know, don't judge. And then I'll say, okay, well, this man murdered this one and raped this child and things like that. What do you think we should do with him? Oh, he needs to die. Look how quick you were to judge that man. And if you only could get to the eyes of God, the one that knows every dirty thing you've ever thought, every dirty thing you've ever did, every time you white lied, all the little shady things, he knows it all. What kind of case do you think he has to judge the world? You realize how full of mercy is the fact that you and I still breathe. You realize how merciful he is. His dad said that we don't live in a dump out there. We've got a nice home with heat and food and clothes.
Right.
You'd be able to raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me.
Yes, amen.
But Noah, let me just say what the scripture had to say about it. Noah built the ark for 120 years. As I said before, this ain't an overnight project. This is something that took a while. And the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness, which means, yes, he did preach against the world to tell them, you have to get into this ark, or you're going to die. It wasn't very popular at the time. And another scripture that gets overlooked so often is Jesus, and let's just go there right now. I'll do that, and I'll come back to what I'm saying now. Luke 17, if you have your Bibles. Luke 17, 26 says this. Excuse me. I expect you to be a little quieter tonight, but don't get too quiet. Is that all right? I get a little nervous when I don't hear nothing. Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And when's the days of the Son of Man? The end time, right here upon us. So what is Jesus saying? The day that Noah lived is the same as it will be at the end time. So it goes to show Noah wasn't walking around as a caveman, as everybody wants to say, and everybody was just stupid. But yet they could build this great pyramid that's better than anything we have today. Really? You really believe that you can pile enough guys around a boulder that weighs 50 tons and move it somewhere? You go get an empty box car and let's all gather around it and try to push the thing. And not only just random boulders either, ones that were so precisely cut, we don't even need mortar for this. We can't build a Lego statue without something to glue it together. They had way more than what people think. It goes to show you the carnal mind will take you into realms that don't even line up with what the scripture had to say about it. And the Bible already told us, it said in the last day scoffers will come saying that the flood never happened. And that all things just continue as it always was. When, no, quite the contrary. If you flood the whole earth, you change a lot. The Bible says people lived 900 years before that. And all the scoffer will come and say, oh, people don't live 900 years. No, not in this disgusting world we live in. We're lucky to make it 50. Brother said he was blessed he just got to 70. Got past 70. And the stuff they're feeding us nowadays, God have mercy, we even make it. You better pray for your food. Who knows what they're putting down us. I believe in a God that can change things, though.
Amen. Yeah.
You call me stupid, but I believe once I pray for it, it's going to be all right.
Yes.
I even had students come. So you're saying if I put poison in your drink and you pray for it, it's going to be all right? I said, well, I wouldn't do it just willingly just to show off or anything. But if I was completely ignorant, it wouldn't do anything. I've already seen it happen, so that's all right. You can doubt it all you want to. But Noah lived in a day that was very smart, very educated, very technological. Or technological. It's had a lot of technology. Here's an easy way to do that. Let's say Einstein. How many knows he's a brilliant man? Figured out a lot of things that no man has ever scaled into before. Let him live 900 years. Pretty easy to come up with stuff that we've never even scratched the surface of. Because by the time you get old enough, you've only learned from others. Does everybody understand? And then there's only that little gap where you can actually go forward before you die.
Right.
Now let's do it to where that doesn't even happen, and you've got 900 years to figure out things. I believe they tapped into resources we don't even know about today. We're sitting here trying to figure out nuclear power, and we can't harness the thing for just about anything except blowing people up. What if you actually could put it into something that helped you build something? It'd be pretty easy to make a big pyramid. Goes to show that when Noah was out there, look, he made a big ark, and this thing was mammoth. I mean, they got this little, kid story with a little boat that's floating, and it's just this little, no, it was huge. It was just ginormous and three stories tall. This wasn't just an overnight project. This took 120 years. And when he was out there building it, he built it out of wood and put slime on it. And you think everybody was building that way? No, the day he lived in, he looked ridiculous. He looked stupid because there's Brother Jehoshaphat down the road who's got the big church, the big following, and he's got a big titanium boat and says, oh, we don't need to worry about a flood. We'll be all right in this. See, Noah didn't get the blueprint from a man to figure out how to make it through the judgment. He got it from God.
Amen.
And it's the same in this day. Oh, we're trying to figure out this system. Oh, if you just do this and stop doing this and come to church and pay your tithes and just be a good person, you'll go to heaven. You're just a dirty, rotten voice from the pits of hell. You won't get to heaven any other way but the way Jesus said. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he'll in no wise see the kingdom.
Amen.
He has to be born again. Amen tonight.
Yes.
The same in Noah's day. Noah looked like a fool out there. People look at you in your little cubbyhole church and say, and I ain't just saying it because it's just us here. I just mean in general now. They'll look at you and say, man, you look foolish out there. Look at you sisters wearing your hair long like that, wearing dress. You just stupid and foolish looking. Look at you brothers. You don't cuss. You don't smoke. You don't drink. What do? You don't got a TV? I'm so tired of hearing that one. I'll tell you what. What do you do all day? I do things. Last I checked this. Not doing anything. Just even sometimes we'll go to my wife's father's house and he'll be watching something, on there. Before you know it, I'm just like, I am so tired of doing this. Can we just stand outside? Because I'd rather look at birds. Noah lived in a time that was very smart, very educated. And he lived in a world, as we know, that it never rained yet. The world wasn't even tilted. I believe that was part of the flood. That's part of what it did to this earth. They didn't have seasons. They didn't have ups and downs. They had perfect 70-degree nice weather all the time. Just a foreshadow of what it will be in glory. But that world, as he began to build that boat, he had a first stage there, which was, and I guarantee there was people that came to his meetings for a while. I guarantee he had a pretty nice following for a little while. But what begins to happen is the test of time. Isn't that right? And that'll go with any experience, really. If you want to find out if somebody's really going to serve God, let it go a little while. Sister, okay? She need to go? God bless you. Our sister might be going in a little late for now. Go ahead and take it. Do you want us to pray? Let's pray. Let's pray. It's all right. Noah lived in a time where to serve God became a thing of the past. Where to serve God, even to believe in God, was long gone. And I hate to break it to you, if you still believe that this nation is a Christian nation, you're deceived tonight. If you still believe that people believe in God the way that they say they do, you're deceived tonight. And here's why. It's all right. Hey, Hey, it's all right. I know, the little girls are, I'll tell you what, they like to get emotional, don't they? This should be a golf and service, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. I don't know if any of y'all were here for that one. As Noah began to build the ark, I believe that many people tried to come follow his message for a little while. I believe they might even have helped him for a little season. I believe they might even said, you know what, this is probably a good idea because I believe one day it might actually rain. We've never seen it before. We've never had water come out of the sky. But for some reason, I might believe it is. But after a while, they all said, you know what, I like Brother Jones' church a little better. I like Brother Jehoshaphat over there. He's got an easier way of living. Amen, anybody?
Sure.
All right, well, let's go, church. I thought we were a little bit more mature than that. But maybe but when it came time to the final end, Noah began to build the ark. Noah preached for 120 years. But when it came to the third part of his ministry, it was get in the ark or die. I'm talking about a third pole of his ministry. It came to the very end where you either had enough faith to say, you know what? I'm going to give up everything. Go walk into this boat and just wait for something that's never happened before. Are you with me tonight?
Sure.
And as Noah began to prepare, the Lord told him that he needs two of every animal. I don't believe he went around with cages and ropes and all kinds of things to catch them. I believe that the Holy Spirit led animals. Amen. Two by two, right into this ark. I don't believe he had to drug them or poison them or any of such things as that. I believe that the Holy Spirit takes care of it. And I hate to break it to you, there's a supernatural element to the flood story.
Amen.
Okay? There's going to be parts of it that was because God wanted to do it. Why did God want to do that? To save man. This is why I hate that movie so much, just from what I've heard about it. It's because they portray God as trying to destroy man the whole time instead of trying to save man. Do you know what sin will do to you and I? It will kill you. That's why God preaches against sin. That's why preachers that actually have the Holy Spirit will preach against sin, because it will kill you.
Yes.
It will destroy your life. You think it's just a good time at the bars, just dropping a 40 dog with your buddies. But wait till you get in your car and you wreck into some pregnant lady and kill her and the child. And maybe it'd probably be better for you to die than to watch somebody else die because of your stupidity. And that's just one example. We could go on and on and on how sin destroys us. And this is what God looked at. He looked down on Noah's world as a world filled with sin. He said that the whole imagination of every man on earth was just vile all the time.
Right.
And he said it grieved him at his heart that he even made man. That movie portrays that God wanted to destroy man. And the angels came and said, we're not going to destroy man. We're going to rebel. So he banished them from heaven and they came to earth and they become these rock creatures that helped Noah get on the ark. What a blasphemy to who God really is. The angels were sent to save us and to help us.
That's right. That's right.
The fallen angels are the ones that want you dead.
Because
you remind them of who kicked them out of heaven.
Right.
Man is made in the image of God, and when Lucifer decided he was going to revolt against God, he convinced a third of the angels to go to war against Michael, and he said, you're out of here, buddy,
right.
And he kicked him down to earth, and here they are now.
Right.
A devil and an angel, a fallen angel, and an evil spirit are all the same thing.
Yeah.
We kind of like to whitewash that a little bit, you know, oh, you just got a bad spirit. There's only good and bad spirits.
Right.
You got a bad spirit, that means you got a devil. And I think we need to call it that so maybe you'll get it out of your life.
Wow.
You just say, oh, I just got a bad spirit today, and realize you might have one of those disgusting little bat creatures in your house flying around because it's a dirty, rotten devil. I think you'll do something about it and won't just entertain those thoughts and get mad at your wife and mad at your children and mad at one another and all that foolishness. You'll just let it go.
Sure.
At least if you're a real Christian, that is. As Noah began to build the ark and he got to the end of his ministry, when he realized that it was finally coming time. And I'm sure even Noah might have got tired after a while. My, you waiting for 120 years, you think you'd eventually run out of steam a little. And I bet he was kind of ready for it. How many's ready for the resurrection?
Amen.
Yeah, we've been waiting years and years and years. They've been saying it's the last days for 2,000 years. We know that God said a day is 1,000 years. That's why it's still true nonetheless. But it'll get here.
They might have scoffed at Noah and made fun of him. They might have said, you're ridiculous. This is never going to happen. We believed this message for 100 years, Noah. Where's the rain? They're saying the same thing now. Where's the ladder rain? It's the same thing.
Where is it?
And the whole time it was brewing. The whole time God was getting ready to bring judgment upon the earth. And his mercy was sending Noah. It wasn't his judgment to send Noah. It was his mercy to them to say, all you have to do, all you have to do to get saved is to walk enough faith steps to get into that ark that you think's ridiculous. And if that wasn't enough, here, I'll let all the animals walk in there first. And you can watch them come from the whole earth and go right into this boat and wait there for 7 days. You think that would have been enough? But it just shows, if you're not predestinated, you're not. If there's nothing in here to respond to the word of God, you'll never be saved. No matter what you see. Israel saw, how many would have wanted to be there?
Sure.
How many wanted to see Moses speak and there's lice across the country? Moses speak and they're all gone. Moses speaks and there's frogs everywhere in the oven and the houses, everywhere in Egypt. And the next moment he speaks, they're all gone. And they were piling them in heaps because they all died all of a sudden. Yeah, just by chance. The Egyptians thought it was, but after a while, what did it get down to? Death. The last plague that came into Egypt. Actually, right before that was darkness, yet you couldn't see your hand right here. And I know it might not be physical darkness right here, but there's darkness right now where a man can't, he's losing his mind.
Right.
He has no clue who he is anymore. He doesn't know what he is, and what does he become? He becomes an animal.
Right.
Survival of the fittest, and we act like that's what man designed from the beginning. That's the worst system there ever was. You say, oh, that's how the animal kingdom runs. No, it isn't. Go back before sin got here. What did Jesus say? The lion and the lamb can lay together.
Right.
That's the world that God created, not what man's sin perverted.
Right.
There's only one creator. That's God. All Satan can do is pervert or twist what God has already brought. This is why every time you look up anything, any of these devil stories, in it, you'll find parallels to Christianity almost actually, every time I really, you can parallel it right down with the story. Why? Because the devil takes, he can't make a new thing. He has to take what God has created and twist it a little bit. When Noah got in the ark, Bible says he sat and, or actually it says that God took the door and he closed it. Noah didn't say, you're not allowed in the ark. Okay, that's not the gospel message. Oh, you know, you're not allowed in here. There's the door. Go ahead and get out. Oh, you don't believe this and this and this? Oh, no, you can't come to our church.
What?
That's the spirit of most churches now these days. God have mercy. But the door was open until something happened. God knew. We're done. God, the one that knows everything, knew. This is the final day. And he sent Noah to warn them. The Bible says it was his long suffering. It was his love to them to give them 120 years. And I say tonight, if you don't know Christ, it's God's mercy to you right now, the second that you breathe.
Amen.
Because one day it can be gone. And then you're done. Look, when you die, the only thing that changes is where you dwell.
Right.
You are not a body. You live in a body.
That's right.
You're not a spirit. You have a spirit.
That's right.
You are a soul. That's what you are. That soul dwells in this body. You say, how do you prove that? Take the soul out of it. What does it do? It becomes the dirt like everything else is. It's just the body that God put life into. Your soul is who you really are. And the Christian that dies, he goes to a nice body. The sinner that dies goes to the regions of the lost. Noah watched that door shut, and I don't think he was jumping for joy. Yeah, we're in the third pole. This is wonderful. I believe it grieved him beyond belief. Could you imagine evaluating his ministry the way we like to today?
What?
Oh, we've got big sweeping crowds. That's not one good sign that you're preaching the right thing.
What?
When Noah got done, he looked around. I bet the day before he walked in the ark, I guarantee he looked around and said, really? I've preached 120 years, and all I've got to show of it is my family. Devil could have very easily come to him and said, look, I told you you're preaching false the whole time. I told you there's not a flood coming. You're crazy. But see, Noah didn't just receive a nice intellectual speech on how to build an ark. He had heard from God. And how to prove that you've heard from God is what you say happens. Not just spiritually happens. Noah walked on the ark, the door shut. It took 7 days, but I hate to break it to the sinner, the floods came. And at that point, everybody got a revelation. Everybody got Noah's revelation at that time, but it was too late. Jesus had the same pattern in his ministry. Jesus went out, and first thing he did is began to heal the sick and catch a lot of attention. I believe the same as Noah. After getting this big construction site, carried a lot of attention. What was it doing? It was bringing in the masses for them to see what he was about to do. Then what he began to do, begin to preach righteousness to them. And they began to like him too well after that, but they kind of put up with it for a while. But when it came down to the end, Jesus had to tell them the truth. What will you say if I tell you that if you don't eat me, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you? And he didn't explain it. He just said it. You want to act in reason to serve God? You might as well quit now. It won't be reasonable. What reason was it for Abraham to say, oh, yep, I'm 75 years old. God told me and my wife are going to have a child. Been barren all these years, but we're going to have it. And then wait until he's 100 and he still hasn't had a child and still saying, yep, we're still going to have a child. What kind of reasoning tells you that a 100-year-old man that's never had a child is going to have one?
Right.
90-year-old woman that's been barren her whole life is going to have one. But guess what? It happened.
Yeah.
And because of that one man's faith, there is a nation that exists today that wouldn't have otherwise. It's the nation of Israel. There wouldn't be a nation of Israel. And actually, all the Islamic nations wouldn't be there either.
Right.
Because they came from Ishmael.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Jesus preached. He told them the truth. He said, what if you say, or what if I go tell you I'm going to go back to heaven where I came from? He says, go to heaven where you came from. We know where you were born. We know where you live. We know where your parents are. What do you mean you came from heaven? And it says they walked with him no more. Judas still stuck around, though. I'm getting to a third pole ministry here for a minute. First was healing. Second was rebuking and telling the truth and prophesying and all the things that he did all the way and discerning the hearts. And you ain't ignorant. You know what I'm speaking of tonight. Well, when it came to the third, he began to preach judgment. He even looked over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, if you'd only known your day.
Right.
Which prophet have you slain? The prophets that they thought were coming to destroy Jerusalem were the ones coming to try to save them. The reason is there was always that time between the prophecy coming and it happening. And that's where the faith has to be there.
Amen.
Noah knew the flood was coming. It took 120 years, but it got here. Faith had to be there in between, or you wouldn't have made it.
Right, right.
And Jesus looked, and the masses left him. He wasn't worried about it. He wasn't interested in it. The prophet even said he shook off the parasites. I wouldn't do too well in this nice prosperity, include everybody kind of gospel, would it?
Right.
Not in 2014. But he looked at his disciples and said, will you go also? He might be saying the same thing to you tonight. Oh, you want to doubt and reason and all those things? Go ahead. You want to believe this, disbelieve the sign and all this stuff, what they got to say about the prophet and the things that happened? Here it is. Here, I'll give it to you. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
When Jesus came, after he was resurrected and everything else, they were talking to him. They didn't know it was him. And he went as if he'd walk on.
Sure.
Waiting for them to say. And said they compelled him. Oh, Jesus, no. You wonder why you don't hear from God? You ever try to talk to him? You ever waited on him? You ever tried to be a guest? My goodness, I invite you to my house, and if I invited you over and didn't talk to you, didn't even acknowledge you, just walked in the corner and just watched my TV and didn't even say hi to you, you think you'd be welcome back to my house? You think you'd feel welcome in my house? Not at all. So when you come to meet on God, you need to welcome him, or you'll never hear from him.
Yeah.
You won't. It's a guarantee, 100%. I even had young people I've heard, they said they went to a camp, you know, big camp meeting, and they went purposely trying not to hear from God. You're not going to hear from God. You won't. You won't see God at all. Because whatever you expect, whether you want to be or not, you have a part of being a man, which is a part of God, in the image of God. You're a creator. And in one regard or not, you can create what you believe. I know this ain't real popular, but it's the truth anyhow. People do supernatural things. They don't think it is, but it really is. Because there's people that can stay underwater at 0 degree temperature for hours and hours and hours. I'd die. I don't have faith for that. They do.
Yeah.
We're all over the place tonight, but I hope that's all right. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, will you go also? And Peter said, where are we going to go? we are convinced that you have the words of eternal life.
Yes.
How did he say that? The same man that would deny him. The same man he would turn. How did he? There was something on the inside of Peter that knew, outside of his mistakes and outside of all his failures, that knew that what I'm hearing is right. And he was going to stick with it one way or another. But Judas, on the other hand, he was still there. How many knows that? One of the 12 disciples. He said, Jesus told him, haven't I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He told John, whoever dips the sop's the one that's going to betray me. He did it, and still nobody seemed to be able to figure it out.
Right.
Because Judas was that good at hiding. And people are looking for the Antichrist, looking in politics, looking in Antichrist things and atheists and all stuff. No, sir. It would be so close that it would deceive the very elect of God if it were possible.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of communism and atheism and all those things. I'm afraid of that that claims to believe what the Word's got to say. And they've twisted it. There's no room for error for this. You couldn't have got on any other boat but Noah's. You died.
Right.
You couldn't believe in anybody else but Jesus, or you will die.
Right, right.
And Judas began to still walk with him. He still hid. We're talking about third pole now. I hope you're hearing me tonight. He still walked as a believer. Still said, I'm sold out. I believe this message that you're bringing, Jesus.
Sure.
But then behind the scenes, there was something in Judas. He never believed him in the first place. You might be a hypocrite tonight. You might say you believe and you really don't. It doesn't really matter. One of these days, you're going to express who you are.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at tonight. We're talking about the third pole of a ministry. It's the end of all. It's the end of the ministry. And what does it do? It separates the believer from the unbeliever. The believer will be saved. The unbeliever will be destroyed.
Sure.
If you want to call God unjust, he gave them people 120 years to accept the gospel. He gave Jesus' ministry. My goodness, how many of you wish you could have been standing there to watch Lazarus walk out of a grave after being dead 4 days?
Yes.
Shows how demon-possessed these guys were, because when they saw it and heard about how it was getting a big falling for Jesus, they wanted Jesus dead.
Yeah.
The religious people of the day, the ones that were following the message of the hour, wanted the messenger dead.
Sure.
You're not ignorant. You know what's going on. Let me read another scripture. I'm just going to read it tonight. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, by which also, by the same spirit of God, he went and preached to the souls in prison. When Jesus had died, we've got this fairy tale story they just laid there. No, he went to hell. He had to conquer all. He went to hell, and the Bible says he preached to those. And it said, I'll finish the scripture here. Preach to souls, the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was of preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So you're telling me that a message that hit the earth, that was vindicated, it took 120 years to be vindicated, but the fruit of it was only eight souls? Yes. You're telling me a ministry that raised the dead, that healed the sick, that opened the eyes of the blind, Jesus Christ's ministry himself, when it was all said, when he got to the cross, he didn't have any converts? Yes. You don't weigh the gospel by numbers. You weigh it by the word.
Amen.
You weigh by, are they saying what God said? And is what they say God is saying coming to pass?
Right. Amen.
Jesus said, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. They thought he was talking about a building. He was talking about his body. That would have meant nothing if Jesus didn't get out of the grave.
Right.
But you go find his body tonight. Somebody please do that for me. Go find me the body of Jesus. We can go find the grave of Muhammad. We know exactly where he is. We know where Buddha's at. We know where all. Where's Jesus' grave? All they know where his grave is, but there's not a body in there. Why? Because when God says something, he means it.
Amen.
And he doesn't just let it go in one ear and out the other. He vindicates it and brings it to pass.
Amen.
And when he died, Jesus went to the souls that were in hell, and he preached to those that had no way of salvation. Every ministry has ended the same. Noah got to where he was in the ark 7 days, and all he could do was preach, you will die. You have chosen this day who you will serve, and because of your choice, not God's, because of your choice, you will perish in your sins. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, and really he's added, if you don't believe that I am, If you don't believe that God made flesh is standing right here, if you don't believe it, and I say the same right now, if you don't believe that the Holy Ghost that indwells me, that indwells you, that indwells the church of the living God is God made flesh today, you will perish in your sins. That's thus saith the Lord. He said it, not me. If you don't believe that I am, you will perish in your sins. Why? Because he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he had to say about it.
Right.
And everybody's got this picture, as we said earlier, about that Noah movie making God this big meaning. And Jesus, oh, he's just trying to be the way. He's just trying to lift himself up. No, it was God looking around saying, who can save man? Right. Who can save him? I already said if you sin, you die. Who's going to save man? Right. And he looked around and he saw Gabriel standing there. And he said, you're not a man. You can't do anything.
Right.
And he saw Lucifer and all he had was sin and that couldn't help man. And he tried to find and looked, and he saw Moses coming. He can't. Moses has got sin. He looked down and saw David, a man after his heart. But he knew he'd commit adultery. He's got sin. Who's going to save man? And after he looked around enough, he said, you know what? I'll just do it.
Amen.
I'll do it. Because God wants man to be saved. Tell me how it makes any sense for God to create a perfect earth, a perfect universe to supply that earth, a perfect kingdom of righteousness and peace and a beautiful garden and to put his children in there just to destroy them later on. What kind of God is that? He's insane. You wouldn't do that. Would you build a house just to destroy it?
What?
Would you make a car just to blow it up? You might if you're crazy. But if you've got a mind, you build it to use it. But why did God make us?
What? Hallelujah.
Might be hard to swallow. He made it because he wants to fellowship with you.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks God just keeping himself away and I can't see him. He's everywhere. And not just like the wind or the waver, it's that he doesn't dwell in time. So he can come visit you and me at the same time. Because he doesn't dwell in time. I hope you understand. If you could come out, you could come in here. He doesn't dwell in time. He's still a person now. Don't you make him the wind or some kind of force or anything. He is a person. And I believe that person's here with us tonight.
Yes.
And I believe he's with other believers and in other cities and that are preaching the same God. I believe he's there.
Amen.
Because he doesn't dwell in time. I'm just trusting the Lord tonight. This isn't any direction, or it is, I guess, in a way, but not exactly where I thought. Let me just go back. If you still have yours, still Luke 17, those you got your Bibles? I think we didn't read all that. Let's read that. How many is being blessed tonight?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We'll try to bring this to a point here. Luke 17:26. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. And what is the Son of Man? Jesus came in three names. The Son of David, which means he was King of Israel. Literally, yes. The King of Israel. That's why the other kings were jealous, because they knew what he was saying. Right. He was the King of Israel. Came as the Son of God because that's where he came. He ruled heaven. He was the Son of God. He'd always been there. Don't get confused. He was God, made himself a body, and he called it the Son, and he dwelt in it. Uh-huh. And that's what ruled all of heaven, because he said the Ancient of Days sat, and he didn't have a second and third person here. He sat on the throne.
Right.
And in the book of Revelation, it says one sat on the throne, and he said it was one like unto the Son of Man. The Son of Man was God made flesh. Tangible. You could touch. You could eat. Even Jesus said when he rose from the dead, they thought he was a ghost.
Right.
Isn't that right? But he said, hey, come touch. Spirits don't have flesh. Hey, see that piece of fish? Give it to me. Spirits don't eat. And he ate right from him. He physically rose from the dead.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, we are all men most miserable. Because if Christ doesn't rise from the dead, how are you and I going to do it?
Right.
As it was in the days of Noah, he destroyed them all. As it was in the days of Lot. How many knows the story of Lot? A bunch of sinners, renegades, and God's long-suffering, even sent angels in there to tell them the word. And what did they do, the angels? They said, let us know them. Anybody know what know means in the Bible?
Yeah.
You know where sodomy came from? From Sodom. Two angels. So how perverted they got. They couldn't even recognize who these were. And Lot, that righteous man down there with them, he had got so influenced, he didn't recognize them. He called them my lords. He didn't even know what he was talking about. He was just trying to entertain them a little bit. But God's mercy, that man dragged him out of there. It goes to show that if there's one righteous, just one, God won't destroy him. He'll hold back the entire judgments of the world for one soul. And we might be here tonight. Maybe there's one more left. Just one. We don't know. He does. He will hold back. Why isn't the world falling apart yet? Why hasn't Russia bombed us? Why haven't we bombed them? We've been in a Cold War for, what, 30, 40 years now? 50, however long. You all know better than I do. I ain't old enough. Sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody by that, but I seriously don't. I couldn't tell you when the Cold War started because it's been my whole lifetime. Why hasn't it broke forth? God in his mercy looks, and you can see I'm waiting on that one. I'm waiting on that one. I've got to get him out of there. The world's falling apart all around us. The prophet of God came, showed the ministry of the same thing Jesus did. Exact same thing. You can go find it on tape if you don't believe it. 1,200 sermon times. Healing the sick, raising the dead, discerning the thoughts of the intents of the heart, showing that Jesus Christ truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That wasn't Brother Branham. That wasn't a man. That isn't me tonight that can tell you what's wrong with you. It's not me tonight that can tell you what you're thinking before you say anything. It's not me tonight that knows what happens tomorrow, but there's a God that dwells in my heart, and he can do all those things, and he still does them tonight. Brother Branham wasn't very popular either when he was discerning the hearts and people, but they still kept him around for a while, just like they did Jesus, until it came to the day where the Word came. And the Word's not just a textbook, it's a person. And Jesus came to the point where he said, I can't lie to him. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna tell him the truth. You have to eat me, the Word. You have to partake of me or you will die. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's the truth anyhow. And Brother Ram had to say the same thing. You see these denominational systems that you're putting your confidence in, they will send you to hell because they're from the seed of the Antichrist.
Yes.
And when the seals were open and we saw that white horse rider was exactly the devil and not God. And it turned into a red horse, it turned into a black horse, it turned into a pale horse, which he was able to name as death. Amen. It's the same as it was in the days of Moses when he said, death is going to come. You need to have the blood on the door. They look stupid, they look foolish just as much as Noah did, but it was the truth anyhow, because the Egyptians got the revelation when they woke up and their firstborn was dead. Their theology didn't matter to them now. Their pride left them because they said, get out. Pharaoh, who had held them with an iron grip, he even let go and said, get out of my country, take my gold, take everything, I don't care, get out. People put so much confidence in what they have on this life. Think, once death strikes, once something affects actual life, you realize how much none of that matters.
Amen.
And not just natural life, how about eternal life?
Sure.
There are plenty of souls in hell, every soul in hell, I'll say that, that would give anything to be sitting right here.
Yes.
Just for another chance to tell the Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me.
Amen.
The only thing that's destroyed a man is his own pride, because he wants to save himself instead of letting God do it. He wants to think himself is not a sinner when he knows in his heart he is. He wants to think he's got something good about him when there's nothing good about him but what God has put in him. When in the Garden of Eden, most of you all know the story, they had sinned. What did Adam and Eve do? Ran from the presence of God. The only thing that could have saved them, they were running from it. And what did God want from them? He wanted one thing. He wanted them to say, I'm sorry. And here we are. Now, I don't want to go too much longer because I didn't even get to. Let me just talk about Esau for a second. We'll close on that. I'll probably have to do another part on this if that's all right tonight. Esau, as we know, was another son of the promised line. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau, two brothers. Esau should have been heir to all that Jacob had. Or not, sorry, all of, I just lost who I'm talking about. All that Isaac had. He should have been heir. But we just read there that when one time he was out in the field and he came in and his mom had set up this whole story that Jacob went and deceived his own father and all these things. How many knows it? That lying shyster, but he had enough faith to believe in the birthright. And Esau was out there about to die. And what happened? Jacob went out there and said, hey, here's this meal. I know you're starving to death. How about you eat this? He said, well, that's fine. What for? He said, I want your birthright. And Esau said, what good does this birthright do to me? Why? He was looking at the natural, not the spiritual, and God had no respect for him. To the point where the Bible literally says, you can find it yourself, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. People say God can't hate. He told me one person to do it. Jesus was able to look at Judas's situation and said it would have been better for that man to never have been born. This is serious business. There's people that do wake up in hell every day, and then it becomes serious. Then they get a revelation of what they were told all those years. But at that point, it's too late. So I say tonight, it was the same with Esau. What was his problem? He looked at the natural remedy and totally ignored the supernatural. And that's why he was rejected. They called him a fornicator. You tell me where the Bible says he fornicated physically. We don't know, did he? Maybe. But it, just leaving the word is fornication. Because you left Christ to partake with someone else. Isaiah 1:9 says this, except the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. Why is anyone saved? Let's get the picture right tonight. Can we do that? It's not that everybody deserves to go to heaven. Everybody deserves to go to hell. That's the facts. You sin once, you deserve it. I deserve it. We all do.
Yes.
It's not that everybody should have went to heaven and God made a way so it's so hard to get there that really everybody's going to go to hell. It's the exact opposite picture. We were all full born right from the womb. Nobody told you to lie. Nobody told you to steal. You just did it.
Uh-huh.
Nobody told you to tell mommy, nope, I didn't take those cookies, mommy.
Right.
You got a stinky diaper? Nope, mommy, don't got one.
Why
did they do it? Why are they doing it? Because we're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. Come out of the womb speaking lies.
Right.
Sinner.
Uh-huh.
And according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve hell. But God in his mercy, oh, I'm so happy. Mercy spurns judgment. People want God to be fair. I don't want God to be fair. I want him to be gracious. I want him to be merciful. I want him to forgive me when I don't deserve it. Because I know I don't. God made a way. And at Pentecost, they had the way. They knew what that way was. They knew that God could live with them the same as he did in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peter and Paul and John and all these people weren't supermen. They were men like you and I. The prophets, Elijah and Isaiah, and all, they weren't superhumans. They were humans like you and I. They had temptations like you and I. But the living God lived in them.
Amen.
That's why they could bring fire down from heaven. They could bring plagues. They could speak the word and it happened. And here we are. We have the word right now. I can tell you what's going to happen. Right now in the political spell, we all know. Those of you that study the word, you know what's going to happen.
Sure.
They're going to form an image to the beast right out of this nation. They're doing it now.
Amen.
Kenneth Copeland's leading the way for everyone else, isn't he?
Amen.
We're going to make an image to the beast. We're all Catholic. That beast, if you don't think that Revelation's the beast is Rome, I don't know where else you're going to place it. Where else in the world fits what the Bible had to say about the beast? Nothing does. They'll make an image here to that beast. They'll get the whole world succumbed to a one-world government. And they're already there. If you think our politicians have any power, you're deceived. They don't. It's just a mockery of what the truth of it really is. Why is Russia still here? Why is Russia invading? Why is Russia taking over? Because God has raised them up to destroy that system.
Amen.
And we already know. There'll be a bomb drop on Vatican City. And I pray that none of you are here for it, because if you are, you're in the tribulation period. That's when it'll happen, because not one nuke will fall before the bride is gone.
Uh-huh.
And look how much that takes off you and I.
Come on.
To know that, and to not just say it, but we know it. I even had a student want to challenge me on it, said, oh my, that obviously an unbeliever, but came to me and said, well, after I told her that, she said, oh, I just want to nuke right here so I can just do it right, you know, just prove you wrong. I said, it doesn't matter. It's not going to do nothing. It won't explode. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm not the one doing it. I'm trusting in one that can control all things. We think God's this little guy we can push in the corner when we don't like him and kick him out of our government, kick him out of our schools. No, you can't. One of these days, you'll reap for all that. That's what Israel's problem was every time. They would leave God and still be under the blessing of God for a while. But by the time they began to reap, they thought it was because they left their pagan idols. When really, they were just reaping for their foolish things before. And here we are in this nation. Why is the nation falling apart? Why is the whole world falling apart? It's because they left God. God sent his word across the world 7 times, and they turned it down for denominations. They turned it down for money. They turned it down for popularity. They turned it down for big churches and big masses of people, not knowing that they're blind leaders of the blind, and they're leading millions of souls to a dark, dismal hell. Romans 9:28. Paul picks up on that scripture I just read. Let me read it. He says, for he will finish the work. Who will? God will. Who finished the work in Noah's day? God did. Who finished the work in Sodom's day? God did. He rained the fire and brimstone down. Who finished it in Jesus' ministry? God did, because he sent Christ down to hell and raised him up again. And in this day, God will finish the age. It's not up to you and I to tell us when it's over. It'll be over and we'll know it. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah the prophet said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We should have been like Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. Aren't you happy for the seed tonight? The Bible's pretty plain. The seed's the word of God. And if we didn't have that seed that could come into us, we would be all men most miserable. But I'm so happy tonight to know that I didn't save myself. I didn't predestinate. I didn't choose myself to be saved. God in his mercy looked down and he called me his son. He chose me before the foundation of the world. The only reason anything in here wants to love God is because God loved me first.
Amen.
That's the gospel story. It's not man trying to scale this unclimbable mountain to get back to salvation. It's the God of heaven looked down and saw the mountain was too big, and he came down with a hand of love and grabbed man and brought him up to where he was.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
He became me. Do you know that Jesus died a sinner? Jesus went to hell as a sinner, not from his own sins, from my sins. He took them upon himself, and he paid the price. He became me, a sinner, that I could become him, the Almighty. Oh, you'll get kicked out of denomination saying that, but the children of God had the same God living in them that lived in Jesus Christ. And he's here right now. To where even just a few weeks ago, we saw the presence of God came, and he said, you are healed now. Three, one service. Healed without even prayer.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Sister Bob? She's the only one here tonight. And that's just one. We've had it time and time again. Why? Because God pours his blessing out trying to save man. Why was Jesus healing the sick? That they might believe who he was. Because he said, if you don't believe I'm him, you will die. So I'm showing you this. Why was the revelation of the Son of Man given to this age? God had mercy on it. We know it's the Laodicean age, and he already knew. Remember, the Spirit came and said, it's black, it's all black. What did the prophet say? Because of the message, because of the word, there was a little light in that last age. That's from you and I.
Amen.
Except the Lord had left us a seed, we'd have been destroyed like everyone else. But to the believer tonight, I've got a good thing to say to you. The third bull is here, and you're already on the other side of the chasm.
Amen.
That when the judgment comes, you're not waiting for the rain, you're sitting in the ark.
Amen.
You're sitting in the ark with Noah, and you don't have to worry about the rain. And actually, let's bring it to real reality. Enoch was long gone before anything even came.
That's right.
Lot had to get pulled out of Sodom. Abraham was already on the mountain talking with Melchizedek.
Come on.
He was in fellowship with God. He didn't have to worry about any judgment.
Right.
When Judas was selling out Jesus, you and me were in it.
Right.
We were in Christ. Secure. Remember, God can make offspring. And all the fullness of God was in him. And when he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose with him. And when he had the Holy Ghost, he gave it to you and I. It's the same life, the same power. She is him.
Amen.
Let me show you the Lamb's wife. That was the time when John marveled, because it was beautiful. When God made Adam and Eve, I'm going to close on this right now. I don't mean to go this long. When God made Adam and Eve, Eve wasn't called Eve. Bible in Genesis 5, you look it up, he said he made them male and female, and he called their name Adam.
Right.
He said the two shall be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in this day. Except you believe that I am he. You hear me now? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not in some special way. He is.
Amen.
And that in Christ was him and his bride. And at the day of Pentecost, when he died, he rose again, he sent his spirit back. That was the bride coming out of him and manifesting in Peter, manifesting in Paul, manifesting in the body of Christ. And it's been so secure, it's still here today.
Yes.
Amen.
They have tried to wipe this thing out for 2,000 years, and they've done it against people that never fight back. They've done it against people that lay down their lives. Why can't they destroy it? Because a Christian doesn't serve God out of duty or out of fear. He serves him because he loves him. You're not going to stop somebody that really has true love. They'll give their life for it. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Totally different direction than I thought, but we'll trust the Lord for that. How many heard the voice of God?
Yes.
Well, let's not just stop right now. I want to. What did Dad just play? You got something softly you play this morning. God's presence. I don't believe in just saying things. I believe that God vindicates what is said. And if God doesn't vindicate his word, what the man has said is not true. How many believes that tonight? The Spirit of God heals the sick. The Spirit of God saves the lost. The Spirit of God is the only source of joy, peace, and happiness. What the devil gives only lasts that long, and it's gone. But the Holy Spirit will give you something that's eternal. Now let's bow our heads together tonight. Now I want you to have the conference. As each one, I appreciate your respect tonight. Not me. You're not respecting me. You're not respecting even this building. You're respecting the God of heaven. And I want you to take a step of faith tonight and believe that God actually does hear what you have to say. God doesn't want us to live in doubt and fear. And even right now, let's say you say, I don't know about this. I don't know what this is all about. I believe God is merciful to a sincere heart. I don't believe God because I imagined it. I believe it because I met it. I believe this word because I've seen it manifest every time and it's never failed. Oh, I've failed God many times, but he's never failed me. So I ask you tonight, Christian, non-Christian, whatever you are, what need do you have from God? The God that knows all things knows what you have need of tonight. Even if it is doubt. Even if you just think, is this even true? I don't believe in just tricking people. If it's not true, it's not true. But I believe it's true. I believe that Jesus did die and raise again. I believe that the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart, that lives in your hearts as Christians, is here tonight. And he can do the exact same things he did in Christ.
Amen.
Do you have a sickness tonight? Is anyone sick in body that would want prayer? Lift your hands to the Creator. And I believe he'll heal you tonight. Is each one well tonight? Yes. Can you bring her up here, please? Now you pray for one another. This could be your daughter here. Got some kind of reaction here. Christ's name for his glory. Amen. Lord, we always want to give an opportunity. Is there anyone here who would say, Lord, I want to give my heart to you. I want you to show to me that you're really real. I've heard others talk about it. I've heard people say things, but I want to see if it's real or not. Can you show me, Lord? I believe he'll answer you. He'll do things exceedingly abundantly, greater than all you could ask or think. Ask, and you shall receive. You've got to believe that tonight. Hallelujah. God bless each one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there any Christian here who want to rededicate themselves and say, Heavenly Father, I'm here to serve you once again. Oh, God, help me. Help me to take this seriously. Help me to take seriously that this is the end time. And that, Lord, if I'm not busy trying to, where are people going to hear the truth if I don't say it? Don't be afraid, Christian friend. God bless each one. I believe he hears you tonight. Don't be ashamed of the gospel you preach. And I ain't saying that as a hypocrite. Each, my students will say right here that I share the gospel with anybody who will listen. You should be the same way, Christian friend. Don't be afraid of what you have. If it be God, you can't defeat it. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Just one last time. Is there anyone who would want prayer? Come forward now. Well, we'll just sing a few songs here. Worship the Lord.
Worship him our own way.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace to me, for helping me and saving me, changing my life from death unto life. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for sending the Lord. Thank you, Father. God is my witness. He knows my heart. He knows the truth. That was going to happen. And I knew that. Why did that happen for you? Each one. Don't reject His invitation. Closes. One day, there's no salvation. Don't look to me. I can't help you. Look to Him now. Each one of us. Look to Him and be safe. Look to Him and be safe. Look to Him and be secure. Look to Him to tell you the truth. That even, Lord, if I'm lying to myself, oh God, take away my mind. Let me have yours. Let me see myself in the mirror of your word to know that if I'm right with you, God, have mercy on me. Thank you, Lord. How long does it take, Brother Andrew? 5 seconds, if you can just get enough faith to say, Lord, I believe you. Forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I believe you. Help me, a Christian. Help me to be a real Christian. I'm sorry for getting distracted. I'm sorry for doubting you in any way. But I'm here to say, Lord, let me be washed. Let me be purified. Let the Spirit of God be able to manifest out of me, that the world might know in my life, by looking at this life that you've given me, that you are alive, that you are here today. God bless you, Christian. And God bless each one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's done all he can do. It's up to you and I to surrender our will to his. I'm not going to prolong the time. This is your day of salvation if you need it. This is your day of healing. Day to have peace with God. Hallelujah. That's fine. I'll let Dad sing a few more songs. So God bless you.